Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today we have therapist Ken Porter. He's a somatic therapist and Hokomi trained therapist. He leads the men's groups with me, coming in once a month to help co-facilitate. He and I provide what we call experiential reclamation therapy, helping men reclaim their emotion and their relationship skills. Today, we are particularly going to offer a handy tool to use when you're experiencing strong emotions and are at risk of fight, flight, or fight in the autonomic reaction. So, Ken, thanks for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about kind of how we're wired, you know, kind of this internal system of when we as humans get triggered with strong emotion and what is, we can't see internally what's going on, but kind of give us a sense of what happens when we get what we call triggered.
Right. So basically what's happening is a very primitive part of our brain is kicking in and sometimes taking over. We need that primitive part of our brain. It's the survival part of our brain that keeps us safe, keeps us out of danger. And so these primitive structures in our brain are just constantly scanning for danger. That's basically their job. So we can't eliminate those, or we wouldn't last very long.
Right.
But then there are more sophisticated parts of our brain, the emotional part of our brain, and then the thinking part of our brain, which all have different agendas, and they don't always play nice together, or they don't seem to. So usually what happens when we get triggered is that some more primitive part of our brain is telling us that we're in danger when we're actually not. You know, that you know, you talked about a tiger recently, and you know, like it's kind of a fear that there's a tiger in the woods that's jumping out at us. And it's nothing like that. It's just somebody said something a little sharp and we're not going to die.
Right. It feels like it. There's an imminent danger in our bodies, you know, this emotional arousal. And then in those moments, we're then at risk of making mistakes, acting out, withdrawing, doing something, freezing, or something that is not necessarily the most constructive or adaptive response in
right.
the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's, you know, some people call it hijacking.
Right.
Where you're the higher functioning brain gets hijacked by the lower functioning brain, and you basically lose your ability to just think rationally, think reasonably. And you can make some pretty impulsive mistakes.
Right. So you can behave in ways that are not necessarily aligned with maybe your morals, not necessarily aligned with laws, not necessarily aligned with your love towards someone, when we are not able to manage these intense emotions. And I think as men, some of us are more socialized and trained to attack the trigger, attack the thing that caused me to feel feelings that I don't want to feel.
Right.
And so rather than having this emotional intelligence or the skills to deal with managing what's going on inside of me, I'm compelled to manage what's going on outside of me.
Right.
And go on in an attack mode or aggression.
Right. Exactly, which of course sets up a vicious cycle.
Right.
You know? I feel attacked by you, then I'm attacking you back, and then you're getting triggered, and then we're both escalating.
Okay. Yeah. So what I wanted to do is just because you have such great skill in being able to provide this tool for men who are listening, or even for women for that matter, this idea of what you can do when you do get triggered. And so you're going to take us through a tool to help ourselves when that happens. So explain what you're going to do, and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Actually, before we get into that, I want to say a little bit more about the way the brain gets hijacked.
Okay.
Because I think this is really important to understand, and I think it helps it helps people have compassion for themselves when they do get triggered and they do go off the handle. And so there's a tiny structure in the brain called the amygdala. It's a little pair of organs that that basically are the fear center of the brain that, that are highly reactive and very, very simplistic. And then we have our cortex, which is the thinking part of the brain, the reasoning, rational part of the brain. And, you know, the when we really get triggered, the amygdala can hijack the cortex. And the thing that I find extremely helpful to keep in mind is that the amygdala, they respond to a stimulus in a tenth to a 20th of a second. And they've made a decision, like, this is what's going on. This is what I have to do. I have to gear up for battle.
Right.
And the cortex, on the other hand, takes a half a second to process a stimulus. So that's like a 5 to 10 times as long for the cortex to process it. By the time the cortex gets around to figuring out what just happened, the amygdala has already fired the adrenal glands. There's already adrenaline and cortisol flooding your system.
Right.
And your whole system is gearing up for fight or flight or freeze. And when that happens, it actually has the effect of shutting the cortex down.
Right.
That's one thing that happens when you go into fight or flight.
Right.
So, you know, it's easy for people to get caught up in, you know, beating themselves up because, oh, I got triggered again and I lost it, you know. Mm-hmm. And but when you realize this is kind of how we're wired, and, you know, it's we can't help it. Like, nobody can help it when the amygdala triggers in a 20th of a second. It just, it's automatic. But what I want to do next is guide us through an exercise, a meditation that can help you take back control. So there's no, you know, there's no shame, I guess, in getting triggered and having your amygdala fire. But then the secret is, what do you do next?
Right.
How do you get back on top of things?
So this is a practice, and because we know the brain is malleable, it has plasticity, what you're describing is that when you do this practice of learning how to sit with the emotion and not just react, then you start developing newer pathways in your brain, and over time it becomes easier and easier to manage yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what we're
doing.
That's what we're going for here. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I just want to invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable. If you choose to keep your eyes open, just try to soften your focus so you're not looking at anything in particular, just kind of seeing shapes and colors vaguely. And then just feel the weight of your body dropping into the chair that you're sitting in. Maybe you're sitting on a couch. Maybe you're lying down, but just feeling the weight of your body sinking into whatever surfaces you're in contact with. Just feeling those surfaces of your body that are touching something, feeling that sense of pressure as you sink in. And then noticing your breath. Breath is one of the most important tools you have to regain your center. And it's helpful to breathe from your belly, from your diaphragm, feeling the sense of your belly inflating and then your chest inflating and then feeling them both release. And so just try a nice, slow, steady, deep breathing pattern, maybe 3 or 4 seconds in and 3 or 4 seconds out. And then so we stay in touch with where we started. Check back in with the sense of your body settling into the chair. And so feel both of these things happening. Feel the weight and pressure of your body settling into the chair while you feel this slow, steady breathing happening. And then just notice what kind of emotion might be happening inside. Maybe something has already happened today and you're already geared up about something. Maybe it's pleasant, maybe it's unpleasant. And maybe you're feeling relatively neutral, but you're able to think back to a recent incident where you may have gotten triggered. And now the huge secret to taking charge of your brain, taking charge of your autonomic nervous system again, is to let yourself experience this emotion as a sensation in your body, or possibly a set of sensations. So for example, if it's fear, you might notice that your throat is tight, you might notice that your shoulders and chest are tight, you might notice that there's kind of a jittery feeling in your body, you might feel kind of shaky, you might notice a knot in your stomach. And generally people's first impulse when they feel something unpleasant like this is to get rid of it as quickly as possible, to change the subject, turn on the radio, have a drink, go work out, go for a run, go yell at somebody. And all of those are ways of just kind of blowing this out of your system. And what I'm inviting you to do right now is to notice that you can actually stay with it. You can actually feel the knot in your stomach. You can actually feel the tightness in your throat. And it won't kill you. It won't even really hurt you. And so as you breathe and as you feel your body sinking into the chair, just notice that the sensation in your body can be here at the same time and doesn't have to take over the rest of your brain. So what you might notice as you're practicing this is that one of two things can happen. Just sitting with the emotion as physical sensation can calm it down. And that's wonderful. Then you've got what you came for. However, it can also go the other direction and it can heat the emotions up because you're bringing attention to it. It's kind of like shining a magnifying glass on it and it heats it up. If that starts to happen, then it's important to find a way to cool it down. So that can be intensifying the intensity of your breath. One way to do that is to restrict the back of your throat on the exhale so you're making kind of an H sound. So your inhale is and your exhale is. So you can slow your exhale down so it's maybe twice as long as your inhale. And do that repeatedly, and you will most likely notice that the emotional intensity starts to calm down. It's a very simple tool, and it can be very effective. If that's not enough, if the emotions have gotten too heated up and the breathing isn't enough to cool them down, then another step you can take is to feel your feet on the floor and then just press your feet hard down into the floor. So you're really working your quad muscles and just feeling the quad muscles start to heat up. And then just stay with that. Just feel the heat in your quads. Feel the pressure of the soles of your feet on the floor. And what you'll likely start to notice is that your attention shifts away from these intense emotions and into this very simple experience of your quads heating up. And so then just allow your breath to come back to its normal rhythm. And just kind of take a little read on what's happening now in your body. Notice if there's been a shift in the intensity of your emotion. And notice the change in what you're feeling in your physical body. And then whenever you're ready, just slowly start to open your eyes and bring your focus back out into the room around you.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah.
And I know that this probably felt a little sped up for the purposes of our podcast, but I think you kind of went through the formula, if you will, the mechanics of it, but you probably would take more space. And if you want to say anything about that, you know, feel free to explain that.
Yeah, I think I would definitely like at some future time to expand on this in future podcasts and go more into, because there's basically kind of a rhythm between bringing awareness and mindfulness to our emotions, which can really heat them up, and then having the tools to cool them back down.
Right.
So those are kind of two distinct skill sets.
Right.
So it would be nice to spend some future time, like diving a little more deeply into each of those.
One. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. We can do that. The thing I want to just say a little bit about before we kind of wrap up is just this idea, you know, you and I working with the men that we do in our practice, is that we see a lot of suffering that men have experienced themselves and inflicted upon others, not understanding or not having this skill. And like you were saying earlier, that there's other things we can do. We can exercise to expel emotion. We can do a lot of other things. It's just not, this is about expanding our repertoire, increasing our toolbox of having multiple things available to us. And for a lot of men, they don't realize that this is available.
Right.
And if it is introduced to them, they might see it as being a way of being emasculated, a way of being, you know, weak, or a way of being, you know, immobile or paralyzed, or, you know, and I wonder if you want to say something about how it can create a different kind of strength.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And clenched fists can can create strength and create a lot of power, but so can this type of strength building.
Right. Yeah, and if you're, you know, if your go-to strategy is to clench fists or, you know, yelling at somebody, that will feel good in the moment. You'll feel powerful, but in reality, it's not powerful because you have lost control and you have likely harmed a relationship and possibly end up losing that relationship, which is, you know, not very powerful. And the ability to contain an emotion is, it's a warrior act. Like it takes an incredible amount of strength and courage and determination to say, no, I'm going to sit all the way through. I'm going to sit right in the fire of this intense emotion. I'm going to ride it out all the way to the other side.
Right.
Yeah, it's and the feeling that the power that you feel when you're able to do that is, it's a radically different kind of power.
Right.
It's more of a I don't know. It seems like it's a much more fulfilling form of power.
Yeah, there's different forms of courage, different forms of power, and this is not, you know, there's times to have a power over something, power over the weeds in your yard or something. You want to eradicate them, right? Power in a sporting event, you know, and being able to push the defensive lineman aside so the running back can go through the hole. This is a different kind of power. This is a power that you're building, you know, in yourself and being, like you said, it's like you become this container, this crucible to hold the emotional heat without melting, without it busting, without it shattering and hurting someone.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I appreciate your coming and teaching us this, and I hope that our listeners can find a lot of value, come back to it, fast forward to just this tool so they don't have to hear our blather about why it's important. But this is immensely helpful, and I appreciate you coming and taking the time to teach us this.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to be here.
All right, thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.